Welcome to Freedom House Podcast. We're always encouraged to know God is working through this church as we change our world one life at a time. So if you have a story to share about how this ministry has impacted your life, please let us know and send us an email at amen@thefreedomhouse.org. We hope you enjoy this message.
Hey, listen, as you remain standing, can you grab your Bibles and go with me to the book of Matthew chapter 4. Grab your Bibles or your message outline. They handed you that when you walked in. My message outline is the points to my message, as well as the verses that we'll be reading together for this morning's teaching of God's Word. And I am excited to continue our summer series here, History Makers. And we've been talking about how God is writing His story through us. Someone say, I am a history maker. And as you know, my teaching style at Freedom House is I am not in a rush. Okay, so I'm not into feeding you out of a fire hydrant or water, you know, going for it. Is we go deep on a subject and we'll take different vantage points and what it looks like in our lives. And so I like to take my time. I want to make sure that you're learning, that you're being equipped, that you understand the topic and God uses our lives. Because to me, there's nothing more important than you understanding what God wants to do through your life. You know, I recently I took on the head coach position for my son's football team. Y'all better start praying for me, okay? That I keep my salvation. No, I'm joking. But I took it on, and my wife's like, you are crazy. I go, I know I'm crazy. Come on. Because, I got so much time. But anyway, I got so many things going on. But I just felt the need to kind of give some extra attention to my son, Judah. During the season, I've made a lot of sacrifices over the last year with the new facility, obviously pastoring the church, preaching and teaching, leading the staff, and doing what we do, even personal, my business through real estate. But I felt that, one thing I teach the kids, here's what I'm saying, is I teach them that don't be in such a hurry to do the drill, do it right. Okay, do it right. So it's like, let me just do it. No. Form is important. And so I think for us as people of God, it's not just, let me read the Bible real quick. Okay, I got four verses. Let me go on with my day. No, it's let's get it right. God, teach me how to be in right standing with you, to be a right man of God, a right woman of God. Come on, somebody. To be right where you want me to be. And that takes time. It takes form. Okay? And so that's why we're taking the time. So I want to talk to you today, you know, as it pertains, as we're talking about history making, becoming a history maker, and what God is making us into. And so in Matthew chapter 4, Matthew's gospel, chapter 4, verse 18 through 20, we're going to read here where Jesus calls his first disciples. And I really want you to see what Jesus says here. The Bible says in verse 18, and Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers. How many brothers? Quick note, the first disciples Jesus called were family. God wants family to serve him, okay? He called two brothers, Simon called Peter, and Andrew, his brother. Scripture says, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. So here they were fishing. Someone say they were busy. Verse 19, then he, being Jesus, said to him the most two powerful words any person will ever hear that are still spoken today, and I believe is resounding in the ear of this generation. He's saying, follow me. He says, follow me, and I will make you, watch this now, fishers of men. I want you to see that Jesus didn't say, follow me, and I'll make you more holier. Follow me, and I'll make you, you know, a theologian. Follow me, and I'll make you this really, you know, cool Christian. He said, follow me, and I'm going to make you into a fisher of men, into a person that is willing to be used by God to touch other people's lives and to bring them to the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Just put a good church amen right there, okay? He says, and I will make you into fishermen. Verse 20, the Bible says, so they immediately left their nets. And what did they do? What did they do? Followed him. But as they were following, Jesus had an intention. His intention was to make them fishers of men. In other words, people that would reach others with this power that comes from Jesus Christ. I want to talk to you the message I've entitled, His Story Through Me. His Story Through Me. Let's pray. Bow your head one more time. Father, thank you for your word. We thank you for your Holy Spirit. And my earnest prayer, God, is that everyone who's in this word, Father, it is not my words that will change people. It's your word that will transform people, God. And my prayer is that your people would hear the voice within the voice. Your Holy Spirit whisper into their ears, into their hearts, God, what it is you are making them into, what you're developing their family into, their lives into, God. That as we are following Jesus, as we're following you, God, you're making us, Lord, into this image, into this type of person. You're making our church family into that. Speak to us, Holy Spirit. Give me the grace to communicate your word and move freely in this service. In Jesus' name we pray. Somebody who's a follower, say amen. Come on, give God one more clap. You may be seated. And just tell your neighbor, God's making you into something. Just say that. God's making you into something. You're good. Thanks, bro. Welcome all those who are going to watch this program on A Heart After God, our television program. Amen. Hey, you know, when I think about God making us into things, you know, I don't know if you realize this, but as we're talking about his story makers, God is writing his story through us. Okay, he's writing his story through us. God writes these things. And you know, I've never been much of a writer. And so sometimes we think, well, God's writing a story through me. Am I like writing a book or what am I doing? But I remember when I first started dating, you know, Pastor Marie, or back then Marie Villacana, I was dating her. I became a writer. Come on, how many know when you're in love, you become a poet? Let's go, come on. And so I wrote her these letters, and I'm like, you know, yeah, I love you, and you're, you know, all that stuff. I can't share that stuff with you. Come on now. And so I wrote her all this stuff, and we were together and all this, and I found out that she saved some of those. I'm like, those are incriminating. Come on, somebody. But she saved, but those letters were so important because, like, I wrote them, and they had so much meaning because it took time to actually write them and hand it to them, and she saved them. And I think just something that is written is so powerful. But when you think about what God wrote to us, yeah, God wrote the Bible, but did you know that God is actually writing his love story through our lives? That the Bible says that our lives are God's letters to the world, that our lives are living epistles. In other words, they're living letters, that our lives are telling a story about God. Some of our lives are telling a story of the goodness and the grace of God. They're like, man, come on, somebody. They're like, if you're in church, we know God's real. Don't point at nobody. Come on, somebody. We know, man, if you're doing that, God must be real. Some of our stories are stories of God's goodness, God's favor, God's mercy, that, man, I should be dead. I shouldn't even be alive. I shouldn't even have a job. I shouldn't even be married. But if it wasn't for the goodness of God, and our life is telling a story. And this is God's method to reach people, is that our lives would become his story. Just tell the person next to you, say, your life is a story. Tell them that. Say, your life is a story. I could also say, what story is your life telling? Come on, somebody. You know, our life is a story. And our life tells a story of who God is. I love what Billy Graham said. Billy Graham said, the greatest message was never preached. It was lived. It was lived. That my life will be the greatest message. I always tell guys all the time where you know, when we talk to the men, is our kids, they don't listen with their ears. They listen with their eyes. Especially this generation. It is a visual generation. And that says, man, we got to make sure that our lives are telling them a story. It's not going to be a story of maybe always doing it right, but it's a story that always makes things right. I'll take the two amens. Come on. It's a story of, God, I want to raise my children. I want them to see the goodness of God. That even if I fall, a righteous man may fall, but he gets back up. Say amen. And so we are telling the story of the goodness of God, and it's a chapter by chapter. And so if you had a bad chapter, really quick, let me just say, don't close the book. God ain't done with you. That's just a chapter. God's going to write a new chapter, a new dimension, a new level. He's going to write a new chapter. Don't close the book, okay? The book's not done. But God wants to write that. Now, in the verses we just read, Matthew is writing the life of Jesus chapter by chapter. But we come to a point where now Jesus' life intersects with other people's lives, where Jesus is doing ministry on planet Earth, and he's establishing the kingdom, and his life intersects with the life of two brothers. And these two brothers, the Bible says, were in the fishing business. And they were fishing, and they were going for it. And the Bible says that Jesus approaches these two guys, and that he gives them the two most powerful words that I believe any person can hear, and it's this: follow me. Jesus says, follow me. He wasn't talking about following him on Twitter or Instagram. Come on, somebody. I follow Jesus. I just kind of get his updates every day. I get a Bible verse sent to me. No. He said, follow me. In other words, let me lead you to become something. Because he didn't just say, follow me. He says, follow me. And what did he say? I will make you. In other words, I will develop you into something. That this type of followership wasn't simply a, hey, get me to my destination and then see you later. But this followership was literally, God, I'm going to follow you. And through my process of following you, you're going to make me into something. Now, I love what Jesus out the gate tells the disciples what he's going to make them into. And he didn't say, I'm going to make you more holier. He didn't say, I'm going to make you more, you know, a theologian. He says, I'm going to make you a fisher of men. In other words, God was concerned that he didn't just come into their lives to stay in their lives. In other words, he was saying, I'm coming into your life so that you can share Jesus with other people's lives. That we would be a river, that we would be this living letter, that God, as you came into my life is then therefore going to intersect with other people's lives, and I want them, God, to follow you like you called me. I want you to call them. How you changed my life, I want you to change their life. How Jesus, you came into my heart, I want you to come into their heart, because God, you are so good that I don't want to keep you all to myself. I want to tell who you are to my kids, my spouse, my cousins, my world, because what the world needs, come on somebody, is more of Jesus. Yeah, that's what it needs. And so Jesus, his whole intention is to do this. Now, I love the Bible, the picture that it gives us. The first people he called were busy. They were busy. Anybody busy? I'll raise my hand out of my foot. Come on somebody. Anybody busy? Of course we're all busy. I love that the picture shows us that the first disciples he called weren't like, you know, just chilling at the park. Had nothing better to do. Now, I'm not saying that God doesn't call people who don't have nothing better to do. But what I am saying is he's showing us that God calls busy people. God, don't you know I got a lot going on? God's like, yeah. But don't you know, God will respond, don't you know that I have a lot that I want to go on in your life? He calls busy people. He will interrupt you while you're busy, because the kingdom of God is at hand. And he says, follow me. Let me make you into a fisherman. Let me make you into the greatest thing that could ever be, which is to bring people to God's kingdom. Now, when the Bible says fisher of men, it's not saying that we are going to go to Huntington Beach and start fishing off the pier, okay? It's not what it's talking about. The fisher of men is an analogy that just like they were finding fish and bringing them, he says, I'm going to help, I'm going to use you to find people and bring them to the Jesus Christ, or to bring them to God. He says, isn't it that we would be used that way? Now, the Bible says it like this in Proverbs 11:30. Watch the book of Proverbs, the book of wisdom. The scripture says, the fruit of the righteous is a what? Is a what? Tree of what? Life. The Bible tells us that when people are righteous, what does it mean to be righteous? It means to be in right standing with God. The scripture tells us that when we are right with God, that our life is like a tree and it gives life to other people. Last time I checked, when a tree, an apple tree bears apples, the apple tree is not eating those apples. He's not like, you know, these are my apples, okay? That tree bears that fruit for other people. The scripture tells us that when our Christian life is really at its highest level, that our righteousness, our living for God, benefits other people. That they are the recipients of the overflow of God's blessing in my life. Because everything about my Christian walk isn't just about me, but it's what God wants to do through me. I'll take the two claps. Come on, somebody. Through me. He says that the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. In other words, people benefit from your godliness and you being close to Jesus wherever you go, because your mentality is, God, this isn't just about you coming into my life, but it's what you're doing through my life. And then the last part of this verse, and I really want us to remember this. The Bible says, and he who wins souls is wise. Can you say that? Read that with me, 1, 2, and 3. And he who wins souls is wise. Say it again. And he who wins souls is wise. The book of Proverbs is the book of wisdom. And the scripture is revealing to us what wisdom does. It's wins souls for the kingdom of God. It is a person who has a mentality that, God, you didn't just save me for me, but you saved me because there are people that need to come to you, Lord. And my life is to be that type of mentality, that type of viewing. Now, when the Bible says, you know, winning souls, it doesn't mean like we're going to go win arguments with people. Okay, like he who wins an argument. Let me tell you why my God's better than your God. Okay, that's not what it's talking about. The word win, it's not like I beat you at checkers, so you got to serve my God now. No. The word win means to take out and bring in. In this, the Hebrew word lamach. It means to take out and to bring in. It's kind of like that game. You ever play that game where that little claw goes, and it rips off all your dollars, but anyway, you played it anyway? Judah, every time, I almost got it, Dad. Give me another dollar. I'm like, no, we're cutting you off, brother. So you know,
But let's just say you actually won one of those. You won it, and you brought it home. That's the picture of this. The Bible says that he who wins souls brings them out of the grip of Satan, takes them out of darkness, reaches out of my comfort zone, and brings people out of depression, out of anxiety, out of addiction. When I do that, God says, you have wisdom. This changes the world. That is wisdom. That's the type of thing, because God wants to use our lives to do this. And I know that when I talk about, you know, sharing our faith and doing this, and this type of message, I'm going to tell you right now, as a pastor, is a type of message that not everybody is like, I can't wait to hear about how to share my faith. Come on, somebody. Because some people think like, Pastor, what are we going to do after this? We're all going to go knock on doors? And you're like wondering, you got like flyers out there and we're all going to go knock on doors right now? What are we going to do? Are we all going to go scream on the corner right now and tell everybody, y'all going to hell? Come on, I don't know. But I want to show our church, and this God put a passion on me on this, and we're going to be talking about it, because I believe it's where the heart of God is. He's put a renewed passion for souls. Because, listen, when it's all said and done, the only thing that goes to heaven is souls. And my dog, Fifi. Don't get into theological debates. It's okay. You're going to heaven. Come on, somebody. Amen. Souls are going to heaven. And the Bible says that this is wisdom. That this is what we've got. We have to have a mentality that, God, we want to bring people to your kingdom. We want our lives to be used. We want our life to be able to bring people in the kingdom of God. And I want to tell God's people, I'm telling you this, listen to my heart, is the greatest, one of the greatest Christians encounters you will ever have with God is when God uses you to share your faith. It'll be one of the greatest Christian encounters. It's not just going to be when you're like in worship. No, my greatest Christian encounter is when God just touches my life and I get goosebumps, and that's great. And I hope you do. And I hope you get a lot of goosebumps and God talks to you and shows you dreams and visions. Go for it. But I'm trying to tell you that one of the greatest Christian experiences you will ever have is when God uses your life to share your faith. And that person says, thank you. If it wasn't for you, I wouldn't be married. If it wasn't for you, I wouldn't even have a dream or a life. That there's a piece of God that's right there. There's a piece of God, and there's so many Christians that are like, well, I don't want to do that. God's like, I want to show myself in there. That's why I love our missionaries just came back from Nicaragua. Come on, give it up for our missionaries. They just got back. And our missionaries got back, and I told them before they left, I said, I'm trying to tell you, you are going to go there with the intent of, I'm going to go, you know, pour out and reach people. But I promise you, you're going to come back and you're going to realize it wasn't them that changed, it was you that changed. That not only did they change, but you changed. And they were a part of, you know, also we sent a big group that partnered with a larger group, 2,500 missionaries descended upon Nicaragua, you know, over 12 stadiums, built homes, water well. I mean, it just shook the whole nation. And they came back and they're like, man, they saw miracles, people getting healed. People breaking down. They were praying for mayors and principals and schools, and I mean, they were winning there. And they're like, "Am I telling the truth? Those I went to Nicaragua. Come on, somebody. Where you at? You know, they're all raising their hands. Saying, amen. Come on. You know, you will find that there is a piece of God. I'm gonna say it, that you're not gonna find in church. There is a piece of God, a power that's gonna be found at a dining room table. That's going to be found in a conversation at a restaurant. There is a piece of God that's going to be found where when you begin to talk to a family member at a barbecue and their tears start rolling down their face and they say, man, I would never step in church, but thank you for sharing that with me. Thank you for leading me to hope. Thank you for causing me to understand the God that is alive. There is a piece of God that's right there that God wants to show himself through us. The Bible says he who wins souls is wise. Why wise? Because we're saving lives. It's kind of like you know, I'll put it like this. It's like, if you've seen that movie, Titanic, where she's on that piece of wood, you know? Okay? It's like, scoot over, Rose Dawson, and help Jack. Wisdom is, let me save you. Hey, why don't you come here? Let's use wisdom. Let's put you on this, and now we're both saved, okay? That's the type of wisdom, okay? It's not like, you know, bye, Jack. I'll never let go. Yeah, you let go. He's dying. Come on. But there's so many Christians that's how they serve God, is they got their piece of wood. Like, I'm not drowning. Well, I'm not drowning. Well, I'm floating. Sucks to be them. And God says, no, I didn't rescue you just so you're safe. I rescued you so you can rescue people. I found you so you can find people. This is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Oh, I wish I got a better clap from the Church of the Living God that understood this is the kingdom. Because I'll put it like this. Aren't you and I glad that someone shared it with us? I'm glad someone took time to scoot over. Hey, come on, Jack. There's enough room on this driftwood. But a lot of times we're like, no, he who wins souls is wise. You know, where we're at as a church family, we're getting this new facility, but why? Why? Oh, we got a new facility. Wow, it's awesome. Now let's all just, souls want to come to God. Families need to come to God. Lives need to be touched, baptized. And it's not a building. It is a runway of souls that are going to come. And it's an awesome place. And I want us as a church family to realize that there are so many marriages and young people and men that are broken and women that need the gospel. But it takes a church that is bigger, is willing to scoot, say, I will scoot over. God, you could use my life. God, I am willing because you saved me and you're making me into a fit. How can I serve? How can I love? How can I give? How can I invite? How can I share? Because Jesus is what this world needs. Someone say amen. That's what this world needs. I want to give you three things really quick. Actually, no, let me read you this first. Hold on. Let me read you this first. Colossians 4, 5, and 6. This is what the Bible says. Someone say the Bible says. The Bible says, be wise in the way you act in church. That's not what it says. Come on, somebody. What does it say? Be wise the way you act where? Because you know how we are. We know how to act in church. It's like, oh, God. That's right, we're coming to church. Hey, God bless you. Come on now, don't lose that language in church. Come on, you in church. Go ahead, you can have the seat. It's okay, you can have the end chair. I'll humble myself, I'll move in. No, you first. See, we become professional Christians. Come on, somebody. But the world is not gonna change because we have good church services. The world's gonna change because the church is the church, not just in the church, but outside the church. And we are shining the light and the salt of the earth. But we say, the Bible says we gotta be wise how we act towards outsiders and how outside people view who the kingdom and the people of God are. Someone say amen. The Bible says make most of every opportunity. Every opportunity that I've got to make the most. Why? Because there are people that need to know about Jesus. Y'all never forget a conversation that I had with the Buddhist. He's like, I want to talk to Pastor Josiah. I want to talk to Pastor Josiah. That's who I want to talk to. And he didn't want to argue with me. He just wanted to learn about our faith. Well, who's Jesus? I said, let's go. So we started talking. 2 hours into the conversation, you know, he's like, we got down to the nitty-gritty. And he says, you know, the real reason why I don't go to church is because Christians, they're just so mean. Because every Christian I met, they don't actually live it. They just, that's why I don't go. I don't like those Christians, and neither do I. Come on, somebody. Yeah. So I began to share them the hope that I had in Jesus, and I'll talk about it a little bit more. And I said, listen, I don't know about it, but all I know is that Jesus changed my life. And when it's all said and done, he's like, man, thank you for taking the time because you know how many Christians won't even take the time to talk to me. They won't even talk to me. And I'm surprised that you even took time to talk to me. I prayed with him and believed God for him. You see, there is a world that's looking. But we have got what's going to change the world isn't just because, and again, listen, believe me, come to hear my heart. I want powerful worship. I want us to be touched by God. I want us to receive the altars. But the world is not going to be changed simply because I got goosebumps in a service. The world is going to be changed because men and women realize, God, you are filling me up to pour me out in office rooms, at my house, at my in-laws, my outlaws. God, you are filling me up. So wherever I go, God, I am using wisdom to shed your light upon this world. Someone put a good church amen and say history maker. Verse 6, it says, let your conversation be always. Someone say always. It says, full of grace, Season with salt, savor, come on. Season, the Bible says, so you may know how to answer everyone. What does it mean, season with salt? It means that our conversation should be tasteful. It should be tasteful. That how I share the gospel, it should actually add flavor to something. You know, people say, well, yeah, but you know, go out there and tell people, if you don't get Jesus, hell is here. And you know, we've all seen it. Again, go for it. I'm not here to down anybody, but I have seen people try to tell, you know, somehow scare people out of hell. No. Nowhere in the Bible do you see that Jesus says, repent, for the kingdom of hell is near. That's not what it says. It says, repent, for the kingdom of God is near. In other words, I'm not trying to scare you out of hell. I'm trying to love you into heaven because God is near. Someone say, season with salt. Write this down, 3 points of how to be used by God. Again, I want to equip our church. I want our church to have the heart of God. Number one, write this down. How does God use us to be fishers of men? Is we have got to be wise with divine moments. They're called divine moments. And it's all over our lives. This week, I'm telling you, God is going to set up some divine moments for us. God, I know that you may have, you know, plans this week. Your calendar is like Tuesday, I got to do this. Wednesday, I got to do that. Got to close this deal. Got to miss sales call. Okay, got to go over here. Got to meet with this person, you know. And you have all that. Can I tell you that God also has things lined up for you? He has things lined up for you this week. And it's not by accident things that God has lined up for us. He has specific moments lined up for you and I to be salt and light. And we have got to make most of these opportunities. The scripture says, we got to be like, okay, God, you're using me right here. Like, for example, this week, and you'll know when it's a divine moment, okay? And it's a divine moment, you'll know because you'll be like, whoa, this is not coincidence. Okay, this is not. And I'm not telling you to be weird, I'm just telling you to be wise. Don't be like, this is a divine moment. Pastor Josiah told me, you are a divine moment right now. And people are like, what's that, you know? Okay, don't do that. Okay, season with salt, flavor, taste. But someone's going to tell you this week, perhaps, and going to be like, you're going to say, hey, how was your weekend? They're going to be like, it's terrible. I couldn't even sleep. You'd be like, okay, cool, man. Hey, you want to get some coffee? You missed a divine moment. You were the Kate Dawson. Bye, Jack. Or no, is that her name, Kate? No, Rose Dawson. That's her name. That's right. Help me out, bro. Okay. But instead of divine moment, they say, how was your weekend? Man, my weekend was terrible. I couldn't even sleep all week. Lord, this is a divine moment. Tell me about that weekend. You're listening. You're learning. Man, tell me, what makes it so difficult? Oh, man, we got this big old blow up in my marriage. Wow. Hey, man, can I pray for you? Divine moment. Salt and light. This is what changes the world. This, and you will see God show up in a break room. You will see God show up in a boardroom. You will see God show up. You'll see him show up in an alleyway, in a restaurant. You will see God show up, and God is waiting in these divine moments for his church to be the church. And I wish someone just said amen, like the church wanted to be the church. Come on, somebody. It's beautiful. You see, the Bible says in Psalms, watch this now. It says in Psalms 37:23, the steps of a good man are ordered by God, and he delights in his way. And so God will begin to order your steps to divine moments. He'll get your attention to be used by God because we're fishers of men. You know, I'll never forget one time when I was on my way to the East Coast. I was going to be speaking at a conference, and man, I was tired. Come on, somebody. Everybody been tired? I'm talking about you're really tired. And I was tired, and I already made a decision. When I get on this plane, I am going to sleep, okay? I'm like, that's it. I'm going to put my headphones on, put my sunglasses. Glasses on, even though I know that the sun's not in here, but I'm going to bed. And it's like it literally tells your neighbor, don't talk to me. I'm going to sleep, you know? And so I'm like, I'm just going to sleep because I'm tired and I'm just going to go there. And right when I'm getting my stuff, I'm like, okay, I'm going to sit down here. The guy next to me just comes in and he's ruffled. He's like, and I'm like, oh, Lord Jesus, come on. I thought you loved me, Lord, you know? He's like just ruffling his stuff and throwing his bag. And I'm like, oh, great. And he's just like, I didn't invite the conversation because remember, I'm just trying to sleep, okay? Come on, somebody. And he just looks and goes, man, what's wrong with young people? And I'm like, I'm tired, Lord. I don't want nothing. I don't want fortune. I don't want fame. I just want sleep, Lord. That's all I want. What's wrong with young people? He's like, he just started the conversation. People just started a conversation with you. Like, you didn't even invite him. He's like, I just dropped my daughter off at school. I paid her for a whole year of school. And, you know, she don't even care. The last thing she tells me is bleep off. And I'm like, all right, here we go. So I just look over. I said, hey, you know, young people, well, the thing that's wrong with young people, don't want stuff, they want you. I said, rules without relationship always leads to rebellion. I'm going to sleep. Come on, somebody. I was tired, man. And so he keeps talking to me. He's like, man, I never heard that before. So he tells me, so what do you do for a living? And it's at this question that every pastor debates whether he will lie or tell the truth. Come on, somebody, right? Because y'all don't know, like, my profession is, you know what I mean? Like, I was like, maybe I'll tell him I'm real estate because I am. Maybe like, come on, I'm just being honest. Come on, somebody, right? And I'm like, maybe I'll just tell him. And I'm like, and I said, I'm a pastor. Oh, and I'm like that, like, serious. Oh. Now he's really like, I'm going to sleep. Come on, somebody, you know? I don't want to talk to you. You're like, oh, Lord, here we go, you know? Seatbelts on, we ain't going anywhere for a few hours, you know what I mean? So I'm like, gotcha now, buddy, you know what I'm saying? He's like, oh. So we start having this conversation. Man, you know, I just don't understand. So much stuff going on, you know, and we should start talking. So we're talking. I mean, this conversation keeps going. And he's like, well, you know, so you're like a pastor of a church? I said, yeah. He's like, I don't like church, you know, religious stuff. I said, I don't like it, religious stuff either, you know? He's like, I said, it's about a relationship with Jesus, not a religion. It's Jesus changed my life. And he's like, wow, that's good. You know? So we started talking, and he's like, well, I don't really consider myself a person of faith. I said, that's not true. You're a person of faith. He's like, no, I'm not. I said, yeah, you are. He said, no, I'm not. I said, yeah, you are. I said, how you know this plane's going to stay in the air? He's like, well, because of the engines. I said, how you know the engine's going to work? You got faith in those engines. You are a person of faith. Come on, somebody. Yeah. He's like, maybe you're right, you know? I said, you believe in those engines. I believe in Jesus, you know? And so we started this conversation, and he's like, oh, man, you need to be on TV. I'm like, we are, you know? He's like, oh, wow, you know? He's like, oh, cool, you know? He's like, so we start having this conversation, you know? And mind you, I'm tired, man. I'm not gonna lie, my flesh, like, I'm just trying to sleep, Lord, you know? So we're talking, and maybe I was just tired. I was just being, like, blunt with him, you know? You got faith, you know? So I'm like, go for it. I mean, we talked the whole way through, the whole flight. Literally, we just talked the whole flight, the whole flight. And he's like, man, his soft spot was his kids. That was his place. That was where he needed Jesus. So I start praying with him, and I said, man, hey, why don't you come tonight? And we start praying. He says, man, thank you so much. Thank you so much. Thank you for sharing that because, man, no one's ever taken the time to actually tell me that. You know, I'm going to go. So I gave information for the church and did all that. But God spoke to me. I go, hear me. I just want to, I was going to be Rose Dawson. Bye, Jack. Come on, somebody. See ya. You know, I'm like, I'm a pastor. Lord, help me. I repent, Lord. But this guy's like, thank you. And God just began to show me even more where how many people are waiting for the church. Come on, somebody. Are waiting for the church to be the church. Come on, somebody. Give God a clap like we are going to be the church in Jesus' name. History makers. Now, I don't know. He didn't come that night. He gave me his number. I tell you, I don't know if he came that night, but I pray maybe one day he'll be in heaven with his daughter. His daughter's saying, thank you for talking to my father. Thank you. Thank you. I don't know. Again, I don't know, but it's not up to me. All that's up to me is to give a reason for the hope that I have. Point number two, write this down. I got to move quick. So we got to be wise, you know, with divine moments. So that was a divine moment that I could have been like, no, that's a divine moment, and God will fill your life with these divine moments. Number two, you got to be wise with your method. You got to be wise with your method. So if we're going to be fishes of men, we got to be wise with our method. Okay, could I fish with a shotgun? Yeah, I could. Like, I just, what are you doing? I'm fishing. I'm just trying to get one. Bam, bam. And there are a lot of people that go fishing like, I'm just trying to get me one saved sinner. Come on, somebody, amen. And you're like just yelling at them. Ah, you know, it's like, cool. That's why fish are scared. They're running from you. Come on, somebody. And that's why sinners flocked to Jesus, but they ran from Pharisees. Because Pharisees tried the law. They tried to. But Jesus was like, I'm gonna love you. I'm gonna spend time with you. I'm gonna talk to you. I'm gonna show you authentic. Somebody, come on, yeah, give God a clap. Go ahead. Jesus says in Matthew, I want to give you One of the most effective ways, and I know this is a very practical message, and believe me, I love preaching inspirational messages, and I will preach all those, but I want to equip our church to be a church that is wise in winning souls and bringing people to God. Amen? Matthew 5:13 and 16, the Bible says this. It says, you are the salt of the earth. And if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It says, it is no longer good for anything except to be thrown and trampled underfoot. It says, you are the light of the world. Tell your neighbors, just tell me, the Lord's talking to you. Say, the Bible's talking to you. Tell me it's talking to you. It says, you are the light of the world, a town built on a hill that cannot be hidden. Verse 15, neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. No, instead they put it on a stand and it gives light to who? Everyone in the house. And in the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds. Notice that they're first going to see your good deeds and then they're going to glorify your Father in heaven. First, they're going to see your good deeds and then they're going to glorify God in heaven. I want you to write this down. This is the most effective way to reach people with the message of Jesus Christ. Write this down. Make things better and brighter. Make things better and brighter. Write it down somewhere. If you could write that on the screens, you would be awesome, media team. Just write it down somewhere. Make things better and brighter. The Bible says that we're salt and light. Salt makes things better. Okay. When I first got married to my wife, it's okay. She was learning how to cook, and she's cool with me telling that story. Okay, she's totally cool. She's like, I didn't cook before I got married. You know, and matter of fact, my mom, she like really cooked. So my wife was like, whenever you want to go to your mom's house, I'm cool. Let's roll. You know what I mean? And so, so she was learning how to make rice, but she's like, you know, I want to learn how to make rice. So I'm like, go for it, girl. Get on with your bad self. Make me some arroz. Come on. And so she's Nicaraguan too. So she's like, go ahead, come on, somebody, pinto beans. Let's roll. You know? And so she was learning how to make rice, but she made this rice, and I was like, at least a little salt, you know? So she brought me the salt, she poured the salt, and she put too much salt. It's like, Lord Jesus, come on. How many know sometimes you put too much salt in your conversation? Anyway, you know, when you're trying to reach people. But anyway, so she learned to put the right amount of salt. But salt makes things better. You see, when we are true salt in this earth, your presence makes things better. Watch what happens when you go to work this week and you make that company better. Watch what happens when you step into your family gatherings and everybody wants to be better because of you. Okay, watch what happens that wherever you go, it is called the principle of presence. Let me teach you this. The principle of presence is wherever you are, things get better and brighter. Whatever room you walk into, whatever place you go, because there's so much God in you everywhere, the workplace gets better and brighter, the meeting gets better and brighter, the family gets better and brighter, the Thanksgiving got better and brighter because you're there. And when you walk in, people go, want what you have. The method. And again, message never changed, method does. But I do believe that when we become that type of person that makes things better and brighter, people say, I want your Jesus. Now, I say this with love, but if we're the employee that's about to get fired, people are like, I don't want to hear about your God. I'm not looking at nobody. Come on, somebody. I'm looking for one. You know, you're the employee that's like, you make things, you don't make things better and brighter. You make them worse, and they walk in like, oh, great. It got quiet in the Christian church. That's all right. And we're losing a world to come to Jesus. But my prayer is that we as God's people, we're salt and light. That we walk into rooms, and when we walk into rooms, we have so much of God in us that we're like, I want to make this better and brighter. And I am telling you, there is a world that is looking for this. Now, I'm not telling you just about deeds, but I am telling you about heart. It's when you're showing up and you're doing it, people will say, man, tell me what you have. And you're going to say, I'm glad you asked, but what's making me the top salesperson, what makes me the employee of the month, what makes me the person that is always loving on family is because, you see, I got this Jesus on the inside of me. God changed my life. The love of God filled me up, and I want to pray for you. That will change, and that will tell a story. That will establish the kingdom like never before. Last thing, and I'm done. Number three, I got to give you this because I don't want you to miss a point. Number three, be wise, okay? Be wise, okay, in your message. So we got to be wise with divine moments. We have to have wisdom when it comes to our method. And then we got to be with our message. The Bible says in 2 Timothy 2:23 and 25, it says, again, I say, don't get involved in foolish, ignorant arguments that only start fights on Facebook. Come on, somebody. I would add that if I could, but you know, I don't want to add to the word of God. But we're not trying to argue people into Jesus. Okay, don't let people bait. This is the Bible. I'm reading you the Bible. Don't be like, I'm going to tell you right now. Send. And they send. The scripture says, actually, don't even do that. It's a foolish argument. Who cares? It has no benefit to the kingdom. All it's showing is, well, what do you think about the four horsemen in that book of Revelation? You know what I think about this? Who cares? And I'm going to say, especially Facebook, man, I'm telling you, I believe me, best people don't try to get me on that stuff no more because I don't respond. I'm just like, no, thank you, Jesus. Well, what is your view? My view is the Jesus. That's my view, okay? Well, who are you going to vote for? I'm not voting for the elephant. I don't care about the donkey. I care about Jesus. Come on. Okay, that's our political parties. Come on, somebody. Right? Because the issue in our country is not a law problem, okay? It is a sin issue. It is a cross problem. It is a Jesus problem. And if I'm trying to think that law is going to change people, it didn't work in the Old Testament, and I may even get religious and pharisaical. What's going to change people is Jesus, 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 and me shining the light and me bringing people to that. The Bible says don't get involved with that. Let it go. Tell your neighbor, say, let it go. Okay? Again, I say, don't get involved in foolish, ignorant arguments that only start fights on Facebook. Come on, somebody. All right. Verse 24, a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but what? Must be kind to who? Be able to teach and be patient with difficult people. Lord, why did you have to put the word difficult in there? Like, I could have dealt with patient with people, but difficult people? Difficult people. Verse 25, gently instruct those who oppose the truth. Perhaps they will change those people's hearts and they will learn the truth in Jesus' name. 1 Peter 3:15 and 16, the Bible says, but in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you for the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect. Someone say message, right? Gentleness and respect. I'm trying to make you thirsty for God. Verse 16, keeping a clear conscience so that those who speak maliciously against your good behavior in Christ may be ashamed of their slander. The Bible tells us that what we're supposed to share, and I close with this, is the hope that we have. The hope that we have. So how do you be an effective fisher of men? How does God make you into a fisher of men? Is that you share the hope that you have. You don't have to be a Bible theologian. You don't have to explain, you know, the seven bowls and the seven seals and the seven horsemen in the book of Revelation. Are you post-tribulation? Are you mid? Forget all that. Listen, you don't. All you got to do is share the hope that you have. And listen, you could say things like, you know what? I don't know, but all I do know is that 10 years ago, man, Jesus came inside of my life. And if it wasn't for the prayer that I prayed, if it wasn't for what Jesus did, I used to be hopeless. Now I'm full of hope. I used to not have anything, and now God gave me everything. I was stressed, compressed, depressed. I was addicted, but God saved my soul. Now my kids actually talk to me. Now my wife actually looks at me. Now my family, now I actually got a job. And we're saying, I got this hope, and you can have this hope too. That is the gospel. Stand to your feet and let's pray. Father, I thank you, Lord.
Thanks for listening to today's podcast. We pray that you were blessed by God's word. To find out more about Freedom House Church, visit us at freedomhouseoc.org.